We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Parents, what creepy past life memory did your kid utter to you? Let's dive in. Story 1. When my daughter was about 3 years old and just beginning to speak more clearly, I noticed her having conversations with someone when she was alone. Curious, I once walked into her bedroom and found no one there. At first, I assumed she was simply playing with her toys. But a few days later, it happened again. This time, I asked who she was talking to. She calmly answered, "Your grandma." I thought she meant my mother, who had recently passed away. So I showed her a picture and asked, "Is this who you're talking to?" She shook her head and replied, "No, your grandma." I then found a picture of my grandmother, someone who passed away in 1991, long before my daughter was born in 2015, and whose photo is not displayed in our home. When she saw it, she smiled brightly and said, "Yes, her." I was completely stunned. Story 2. I'm not a parent, but I remember a strange memory I shared with my mom when I was about 3 years old. I told her about my royal family. I still vividly remember a scene. I was standing in a desert near a shallow pool of dark water at sunset. My little brother reached down and splashed the water, and everyone around us became very upset. It felt like the pool was sacred. Years later, when I was 16, I met someone who became a close friend. At 18, we had a conversation about past lives. He told me a story, the exact same one I remembered, but from the perspective of the younger brother. I had never told anyone that story. To this day, it still gives me chills. Story 3. I was the child in this story, so I don't remember it myself, but my parents told me what happened. When I was 4, we took a trip to Ireland to visit my father's grandparents. While walking through a shopping district, I suddenly became frantic and started shouting about wanting to see the train. I ran into a clothing store in a panic, insisting there was a train inside. The store clerk was just as confused as my parents were. Eventually, I ran to the back of the store and pointed at something, yelling, "The train!" I had found a framed newspaper clipping from the 1940s that showed the front of that same shop, back when it was a toy store with a big model train display in the window. Story 4. This one isn't from a parent, but from someone who was often told they looked and acted exactly like their mom's grandmother, someone who passed away long before they were born. The comparisons were especially strange because they didn't come from family members, but from older strangers who had known her. The most chilling moment happened at Disney World in Florida during their teenage years. They were chatting with an older couple when the woman said they reminded her of her childhood neighbor. Without thinking, they suddenly said, "Soyo Marisol," which shocked the woman. That was the actual name of her neighbor, something they had no way of knowing. The woman responded, almost in disbelief, with a full name and said she had lived in Buenos Aires. Later, people with dementia who had known that grandmother would call this person by her name and talk to them as if they were the same woman. They often felt strong deja vu during these encounters. Their dream is to one day visit her hometown, which was once in Poland but is now part of Belarus. Story 5. I was a nanny for many years and cared for a particularly bright 2-year-old boy. He was developmentally ahead and used to tell me stories during bedtime that always began with, "When I was an old lady." These were strangely specific tales, things far beyond the vocabulary and experience of a toddler. Over several months, he continued expanding on this story. He'd pretend to be the old lady, walking slowly with a cloth over his head, talking about her 4 daughters and a son, and how one daughter died in a car accident. He described having bad feet and a sore back, and even recalled dying after being hit by a car. One day we were driving in a poor coastal neighborhood on the other side of the country. He suddenly got excited and started directing us down specific streets, pointing out landmarks from his stories. But when we reached what he said was her house, it was now a store. We asked a local what used to be there, and they said, "Houses." After that, his parents, understandably unsettled, encouraged us to steer him toward other kinds of play. By the time he turned 3 and a half, he stopped mentioning the old lady completely. He didn't remember any of the stories. I still can't explain it, even all these years later. Story 6. This one's from my own childhood. Apparently, when I was about 4 years old, I had recurring nightmares. They always started the same way. I'd scream the name Sarah, yell for help, and then begin sobbing, saying, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry," over and over. It would wake up the entire household. The odd part? I never remembered the dreams in the morning, and my family didn't know anyone named Sarah. I hadn't started preschool yet, and we didn't have a TV or much media in the house. I barely knew any words at that age. This went on for nearly a year, and then suddenly stopped. My mom once asked me about it, and I told her something along the lines of, "Sarah doesn't want to see me crying anymore, so I won't." I didn't learn about any of this until much later during a casual conversation with my parents, when I happened to mention that I always thought the name Sarah was beautiful. Story 7. This happened to a friend's younger sister. Their family had recently bought a cottage in a ski village and went out for dinner one night. As soon as they walked into a restaurant, the little sister said, "I know this place. My mother and I used to paint here." Her mom replied, "What are you talking about? We've never been here." But the girl insisted, "No, my mother from before. We used to come here and paint all the time." At first, everyone thought she was just playing or using her imagination. But later on, while chatting with their waitress, the girl repeated the story. The waitress looked surprised and explained that the building had actually been an art studio for many years in the 1900s, before it was turned into a restaurant in the early 2000s. Everyone at the table went completely silent. Even the waitress got goosebumps. Story 8. When our son was 3, my husband decided to take him on a small plane ride, a Cessna, to see the city from above. But when it was time to board, our son rushed into the pilot's seat and burst into tears when asked to move. He cried, saying, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to crash the plane last time. I'll be good this time." We managed to calm him down and moved him to the back seat, but he then fussed about the radio not working. The pilot handed him a headset that wasn't plugged in, just to play along, but our son still tried to call the tower for clearance like he knew what to say. Later, at an aviation museum, we saw a vintage Mosquito aircraft being restored. Our son walked up and said, "I used to fly one of those." The curator let us look inside, and our son started pointing out errors like the joystick being the wrong type. The curator confirmed that the plane had been updated and was now being restored to its original World War II state, exactly the version our son described. He doesn't remember any of this now and has no interest in planes, but he still says he just knew how flying worked back then. Story 9. My daughter has always talked about her grandson, and for a while we thought it was just an imaginary friend. But one night at bedtime, she came out of her room sobbing and said, "I miss my grandson. He lives in my old house, in my old neighborhood." The thing is, she's only ever lived in this apartment. When we asked more questions, her answers were hit or miss. Sometimes she acted silly, but other times she gave very detailed descriptions. One night, she told us her grandson sleeps in a crib and has a white tongue. When I asked what his name was, she laughed and said, "Gah." It could be her imagination, but she's also said some strangely accurate things about the baby I lost a few months ago. It makes me wonder if she somehow remembers more than we do. Story 10. When my younger sister was 3, she randomly told our mom, "Remember when I was a big girl and you were a little girl?" She described attending our parents' wedding and described her past self, a woman who sounded just like our great-grandmother Grace. She talked about living in a greenhouse at the end of a dirt road and how her mother, our great-great-grandmother Matilda, died from a snake bite. She even described the snake, and our mom thought it sounded like a copperhead. We lived in Nebraska where there aren't copperheads, but Matilda had died in southeast Oklahoma, where those snakes are common. My sister even claimed she killed the snake with a hoe. One day, while our dad was sharpening a hoe in the garden, my sister told him he was doing it wrong. She put her small hands over his and showed him how. He later admitted that she had been right. These bedtime stories went on for about 6 months. By age 4, she'd say, "I'm tired of talking about it." I was 15 at the time, and I still remember those nights clearly. Story 11. Back in the 90s, when my little brother was about 3, our family was sitting down for dinner when he suddenly said, "Dad, remember when I lived in Spain?" We're from the UK, so my dad just went along with it and said, "Sure." My brother continued, explaining that he used to live in Spain with another family, but died during a fishing trip with his dad. He said the last thing he remembered was his father reaching out for him as he drowned. He even gave Spanish names for his parents, names he couldn't possibly have known at that age. He started meditating in his room sometimes, which was a bit unusual for a toddler. As he got older, he stopped talking about it and doesn't remember any of it now. But hearing other similar stories makes me wonder just how many people experience things like this. Story 12. I only have two clear memories from my preschool years, but both left a lasting impression. They feel like there was more behind them, something just out of reach. The first happened when I was about 18 to 24 months old. I was standing in our gravel driveway on a hot day and asked my mom for some Wawa. She said, "If you want a drink, you need to say water." I remember thinking clearly, "You know what I want. Why are you doing this?" They said this one was going to be easy. The second memory happened a bit later. My sister was excitedly telling me, "Now you get to learn to read." And again I thought, "No, they promised this would be easy. This isn't easy. What is all this?" Now I enjoy learning, but I still remember how disappointed I felt back then. If there's a next time around, I plan to have a word with whoever defines easy. Story 13. When I was 4, there was something on TV about the Royal Air Force, showing old Lancaster bombers. I looked up from playing and said something like, "I really miss Ron from Scampton. He died in Germany." My parents brushed it off, assuming I was just making something up. But there were some odd things about it. We lived in Aberdeen, Scotland, and no one in our family knew anyone named Ron or anything about RAF Scampton, which is in Lincolnshire and was home to Lancaster bombers during World War II. Years later, when I was 10, my family moved to Nottingham. As part of a youth program, I got to visit RAF Scampton. While touring the war graves, I saw a headstone for a man named Ron Evans who had died in a Lancaster bomber raid over Germany in 1945. I was completely overwhelmed, chills, goosebumps, everything. It might have been coincidence, but that one moment still makes me wonder. Story 14. When I was little, I used to have a recurring dream that felt incredibly real. In it, I was a Roman archer trying to hold off an attack from what I now recognize as Mongol-like warriors. I'd described the armor and weapons to my parents, even though I'd never seen anything like them before. Later, when I came across pictures of Roman and Mongol armor, I immediately thought, "That's exactly what I saw in my dreams." I always remembered standing near a small fort, beside a tree, with a slight slope to the left. The attackers came charging out of a forest on horseback, dressed in furs and wielding curved swords. Our arrows mostly missed. I remembered being struck on the left side of my head by the man leading the charge. To this day, I have one gray hair that grows in that exact spot, no matter how often I cut it. I don't have the dream anymore, but the memory of it is still crystal clear. Story 15. This might not be a past life memory, but more like channeling someone. My son was playing a game with my mom at the kitchen table when he suddenly became very quiet. He stared at her for a full minute, then said, "You're doing okay," and gave her a soft, reassuring smile. Immediately after, he went back to his usual playful self. My mom excused herself and went to her room crying. Later, she told me that for that brief moment, his face and voice looked and sounded exactly like her father, my grandfather, who had passed away years earlier. He had always worried about her and tried to reassure her often. She said it felt like he had come through, just for a moment, to check in on her. She never saw that expression or heard that voice from my son again. Story 16. When my daughter was about 3, she casually asked me, "Remember my fancy hat?" I said no, and she replied, "Yeah, before I died, I used to work in a bank. I saved up my money and bought a hat in a round box. I was on a bus and a man almost sat on it. Then the bus crashed and I died." She said it so matter-of-factly, like she was describing what she ate for lunch. Later, I realized she knew about hat boxes because she loved musicals, especially Easter Parade, where fancy hats are a big theme. At the time, we were also talking a lot about death after my mother passed away, so some of the imagery could have come from that. Still, she spoke with such calm clarity, it was hard not to wonder. Story 17. I was the child in this story, and I usually lean toward logic and science, but I've never been able to explain what happened. I was 4 or younger, spending the night at my grandparents' house. They were watching the Olympics, so I got to sleep in their bed. I couldn't fall asleep, as usual, but the soft TV glow from the other room was comforting. Suddenly I felt cold. Not scared, just physically cold. Then a soft blue light appeared to my right. I turned my head and saw an older woman, translucent and faintly blue, sitting in a rocking chair and holding a small dog. She was staring directly at me. Terrified, I ducked under the covers and turned away. Eventually, a warm orange light replaced the blue one. When I peeked out again, I saw men on fire standing silently near the bed. I turned back and saw the woman standing, her mouth still, but a voice in my head said, "They're not really there. They can't hurt anymore." I don't remember anything after that. The next morning, I refused to get out of bed. When I finally told my parents, they laughed it off, until my grandfather overheard and broke down in tears. He said when he came back from Vietnam, he had panic attacks at night and would see those burning men in dreams. His mother, the same woman I saw, would sit in that rocking chair to watch over him while he slept. I still don't know how I saw his memories, but I've never experienced anything else like that since. Story 18. Not my child, but a close friend's daughter. When she was born, they lived in a Civil War era home, a beautiful but very old house. Strange things happened there. For instance, a peacock used to roam the property, but vanished the day they brought the baby home. Then there was the basement. I was visiting once when my friend's wife ran upstairs in a panic after going down there for canned food. She said she turned around and saw a figure in a wide-brimmed hat standing silently in the corner. Their daughter's room was always ice cold, in a way that made your stomach twist. As she got older, she'd often sit in the corner of her crib, quietly babbling to something just outside the baby monitor's view. Years later, after they'd moved, she was sitting at the dinner table looking sad. When asked why, she quietly said, "I miss my friend from my old bedroom." Her parents were absolutely shaken. Story 19. My mom swears that when I was about 8, I once told her, "Grandpa says he's really sorry. He didn't mean to hurt the family." I have no memory of this. I never met her father. He passed away before I was born. But my mom was deeply emotional when she told me. Apparently, her father struggled with addiction, and after a serious accident, things got worse. He hurt the family emotionally, sometimes even crossing into harmful behavior. He lost motor skills, destroyed her first car, gave away a beloved pet, and brought a lot of stress into their lives. Near the end of his life, he sold his hotel and left everything to his kids, trying to make amends. But the damage was already done. Hearing that I might have said something like that, especially at that age, brought her to tears. Story 20. I'm convinced my son is my grandfather reborn. When he was about 3, I took him to visit my grandmother, his great-grandmother, for the first time. He had never been in her house before. The moment we walked in, he ran over to her, placed his little hand on her cheek, and said, "I've missed you so much, Annie." Then he climbed into her lap, patted her hand, and added, "I liked your black hair better." No one calls her Annie, except for my grandfather, who passed years before. And she used to dye her hair black until she went gray and started wearing a wig. Later, he stopped in the hallway, pointed at an old photo of my grandfather in his military band uniform, and said, "That was when I was playing in the band." At age 3, he didn't even know much about his great-grandfather, and we had no pictures of him as a young man at home. That day changed everything we thought we knew. Story 21. This happened to me when I was 22, and I didn't remember it until nearly 20 years later. Back in 1993, I was in the Navy attending hospital corpsman school, basically training to be a medical assistant. We had a whole week dedicated to pharmacy and medications, and for some reason, I already knew everything in the textbook. All the medication names, side effects, it was like I'd studied it a dozen times before. I couldn't explain it. The information came so easily that my classmates were kind of annoyed. I just got it, without trying. Fast forward 20 years. I had a dream one night that I was back in corpsman school. In the dream, I told someone, "I don't need to study the meds. I've been a nurse so long, it's already drilled into my head." I actually woke up while saying that part out loud. My husband heard me. So yeah, maybe I really was a nurse in a past life. Story 22. I was around 3 or 4, and I used to have this recurring dream that felt more like a memory. In the dream, I lived in a white farmhouse with green shutters, a short gravel driveway, a red old-fashioned pickup truck, and a horse barn out back. There was one black horse. The dream was so vivid and so frequent that I started asking my parents if we had ever lived in a place like that, but we never had. My family had always lived in the same modern house, nowhere near anything that looked like the place from my dreams. The dream always ended the same way. A balding man pushed me out of an upstairs window. I'd wake up right as I fell. Years later, when I was a teenager, my boyfriend and I were on a road trip through another state. We were driving on a remote, forested road when I suddenly saw the house from my dream. I shouted for him to turn around. It was exactly the same. Green shutters, red truck, barn out back. The same house I had seen 100 times in my sleep. Story 23. This one's a little strange. I'm adopted, and my parents told me that when they were working with a social worker, my mom mentioned she had always dreamed of adopting a red-haired girl. The social worker said, "Funny you say that, we actually have two red-haired baby girls available." They met me at my foster home and decided I was the one. They never met the other baby. A few years later, when I was in preschool, I ended up in class with another red-haired girl. Our parents started talking and discovered, yep, she was the other red-haired baby the social worker had mentioned. The twist? Her parents hadn't told her she was adopted yet. Mine had. So when they finally did tell me the story, they asked, "Can you believe that?" And I said, "Yeah, I knew." When they asked how, I replied, "She and I were waiting together. Before we came here, we watched families and picked the ones we wanted. Maybe it was just childhood imagination, but it always felt kind of special and true." Story 24. My 3-year-old has been saying odd things since she started talking. She'll casually refer to her old mama, and sometimes call me her new mama. It's never said in a hurtful or manipulative way, just as a passing comment. Like, "My old mama didn't sing that song. She sang a different one," or "She used to tell me that rule too." She also talks about when she was a mother herself. She says she had 4 children, though one of them was kind of mean and wasn't very well liked. She says she lived in a hilly town, baked bread all the time, and always wore an apron. The most chilling part is when she talks about her dad and me. She'll say things like, "You died before. Both of you did. Before you became who you are now." She doesn't seem afraid of it. Just matter of fact. Story 25. When my daughter was about 2, she...
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
He told me, "Your mommy's mom wants you to know she loves you." That's my Nan, my grandmother. My daughter has never called her Nan, only "your mommy's mom." She also talks about how things were easier when I was a boy, and says her big sister has always been her mom, and I've always been her baby, and a good baby at that. She insists her brother has always been her brother, and she's fiercely protective of him. Some of her comments are difficult to hear. She once said her other daddy was a bad man who hurt them all. But she always adds that her current daddy is a good one, just not very old. It's all so matter of fact to her. Nothing scary. But there's something very deep about it. One beautiful thing is how much joy she brings to my elderly mother, who's been struggling with her health. They'll spend hours together talking, and neither can quite explain what they talked about. But the glow in their eyes says it all. Story 26. I'm the older sister in this story. My older brother tragically died when he was 7, and I was only 2. It was a freak accident. He fell from the back of a truck while it was moving through a neighborhood and hit his head. That's why I'm strongly against letting anyone ride in the back of trucks. Years later, my younger brother turned 7, and he began saying unsettling things like, "I don't want to be 7," or, "Being 7 makes me feel sick." At first, we thought it was just something a kid might randomly say. But then he started saying things like, "I just keep thinking about the accident." He knows about our older brother's death, so that could explain it, but still it's eerie. The resemblance between the two is uncanny. They even share similar personality traits. It gives me a strange feeling every time he talks like that. Story 27. From the ages of 2 to 4, I apparently used to talk in my sleep to my great-grandmother, Levon, someone I never met. She passed away in 1976 when my mom was only 3. My mom said she never spoke her grandmother's name to me, yet I somehow knew it. Not just Levon, which was her middle name, but also her real first name, Mary. One day, when I was 4, my mom was looking through old family photos, and I pulled one out, pointed to a woman, and started crying, saying, "I miss her." Later that week, my daycare staff offered my mom condolences because I had spent the whole day crying for Gigi Levon. There's more. In 1977, my grandparents moved into a new house. A small red bird kept landing on their boxes and following them closely. They used to call it their little friend. Years later, when I was 3, my grandfather was reminiscing about that move. I said, "I was there. Don't you remember? I was the little red bird." No one had ever mentioned that bird to me. I also used to talk vividly about being a nurse in World War II, telling stories that made my mom laugh and say I reminded her of Clara Barton. It might all be coincidence, or maybe not. Story 28. My 2-year-old is still too young for anything like this, but I personally remember what I believe to be the final moments of my previous life, my very first memory. In it, I was in an old car, probably from the 1970s or 80s, with red vinyl seats. I was in the back on the passenger side, with 2 other men in the car. It moved slowly over gravel, and I heard the crunch of the rocks beneath the tires. I looked out the window and saw an arm pushing the car from outside. I felt restrained or unable to move, only my head could turn a bit. Eventually, we reached a cliff's edge, and the car was pushed over. I remember hitting the bottom and the car getting stuck vertically. I saw the man in front of me stir like he was waking up, and I asked, "What do we do now?" He responded, but I can't recall what he said. Then everything went black. My very next memory is of being in a crib, looking up at my family. Maybe it's not a typical past life story, but I've never forgotten it. Story 29. This happened last fall when my son was 3. We went to a state park for a walk and some playtime at the playground. The park also has a beach, but we almost never go there. That day, he became fixated on going to the beach, even though it was late September and far too cold. As we walked, he kept saying he needed to dig a hole with a blue shovel. He was very specific about the color. We told him we hadn't brought any toys. He didn't even own a blue shovel. But when we got to the beach, he ran about 100 feet ahead, straight to a picnic table, and there it was. A bright blue plastic shovel, just sitting there, like it had been waiting for him. There's no logical explanation. He couldn't have seen it from the trail, and this wasn't the kind of place where toys are left around. To this day, that one still gives me chills. Story 30. This story isn't mine, it's about my boyfriend. When he was around 2 or 3, he really unsettled his dad one day. They were in the car when he suddenly woke up from a nap, crying. His dad asked what was wrong, and he said, "I remembered how I died." He said he had been a cowboy, described the outfit, and explained that his horse had gotten spooked by a snake, thrown him off, and he broke his collarbone. It didn't heal properly, and it got infected. That's how he died. His dad was completely rattled, especially because this tiny child was using words like collarbone and infected, which he hadn't been exposed to yet. After telling the story, he went right back to sleep like nothing happened. Story 31. This might have been a past life memory, or maybe just something deeply familiar, I'm not sure. But when I was 18 and just starting to date my now husband, we arranged a double date with his sister and her girlfriend. I had never met them before. When we all arrived at the bar to meet, the moment his sister's girlfriend and I saw each other, we both lit up. We hugged like we hadn't seen each other in years, tightly and with this overwhelming sense of relief and joy. My boyfriend, now husband, was confused. He thought we already knew each other. But we didn't. We were strangers. Still, I had this intense feeling like we had found each other again after a long time apart. It felt like reconnecting with a best friend from another life. To this day, we're incredibly close. We don't talk about that moment much anymore, but sometimes we'll laugh and say, "Well, we did finally find each other again." Story 32. I was sitting at a stoplight, watching traffic turn in front of me. You know how you sometimes glance at the drivers or passengers as they go by, just out of habit? One car was turning across the intersection, and I made eye contact with a girl in the back seat. The moment we locked eyes, time seemed to slow down. It felt like everything stretched out, like the car was taking forever to pass, even though it was moving at a normal speed. She gave me this mischievous little smile, like we shared a secret. I smiled back, not because I meant to, but because it just felt right. Then the car finished its turn, and time snapped back to normal. It sped off down the road. I looked in the mirror, and it was already far away. It reminded me of a scene from a movie, magical and strange. I still remember her face and that knowing grin. It felt like she was saying, "Hey, I see you. Until next time." I've never seen her again, but I wonder, who is she? How did we know each other? Why did it feel like we remembered something together? Story 33. When I was a kid, I had a lot of nightmares. Whenever I woke up scared and crying, my dad would come sit with me and listen while I told him what I'd dreamed. One night, I had a nightmare that we were at the beach with my mom's brother and his wife. My dad had gone to the car for something, and while he was gone, a huge thunderstorm rolled in out of nowhere. Lightning was everywhere. People were panicking and running for cover. I remember hiding under a pavilion, terrified that something had happened to my dad. The strange part? It wasn't just a dream. That day actually happened. A violent storm hit the beach during a family outing, and my dad had stayed in the car while everyone else ran for cover. A nearby building caught fire from a lightning strike. The really strange part? My mom was pregnant with me at the time. I hadn't even been born yet, but I described the event in detail during that nightmare. Later, my dad even found a home video that confirmed it. Some of the details were just dreamlike distortions, but the setting, the people, the timing, it all matched. Story 34. I used to work at a daycare, and one afternoon, a little boy around 3 or 4 had been separated from the group for getting too rowdy. He wasn't a bad kid, just had a lot of energy. He was sitting quietly at a small table while I made copies nearby. He started drawing and talking to himself, so I sat beside him and asked what he was drawing. It looked like a crib or a cage with a person lying in it, and a large cloud overhead. He looked at me and said, "That's me. That's my old bed. Before I died." I was totally caught off guard. I asked, "How did you think of that picture?" He just shrugged and kept coloring. Nothing like that ever happened again. But that moment, it really stuck with me. Story 35. When I was 6 months pregnant, my great-grandfather was in his final days. My grandmother told him we had chosen a name for the baby, but he misheard it and thought we'd named him after himself, John. He was deeply touched, so she didn't correct him. 3 days later, I went into early labor. My son spent 4 months in the NICU. As he got older, he became fixated on Papa John. He talked about him constantly and seemed to know things about my great-grandfather that no one had told him. He would say things like, "I miss his hugs," and acted like he truly knew him. One time, while visiting my grandmother, a bright yellow butterfly kept fluttering around us. My son looked at it and said, "Hi, Papa," like it was the most normal thing in the world. He said it with love and recognition. Between ages 2 and 4, he mentioned Papa John often. Now he doesn't talk about him anymore, but I still think about it, especially because we never talked about Papa John much around him, and I wasn't even that close to him myself. Story 36. This one's about me. Since I was very young, I've had vivid flashes of what I believe is a past life, always the same few memories, always incredibly detailed. In the first, I'm a young girl in a nightdress, standing in front of a hallway mirror, holding a stuffed animal. The lighting is soft and dim. I think I'm in my grandmother's apartment. I have dark, messy hair and big eyes. I'm maybe 5 or 6. In the second, I'm sitting in front of a big console TV, watching black and white ballerinas perform. The room has a mix of 1960s decor and old-world European charm, shag carpet, a clock over the mantel, velvet furniture. I remember feeling like my parents were away a lot. Something political was going on, maybe even dangerous. I spent most of my time with Grandma. The third memory is the most intense. I'm wearing a green coat, white gloves, and a straw hat with a ribbon. I'm at a busy train station in the snowy Alps, holding my mother's hand. I'm 6. Suddenly, someone pushes me from behind. I fall in front of the train. I don't remember the impact, but I remember thinking he pushed me. I was born in 1968 in the Mediterranean, but I've always felt deeply drawn to French. No one in my family speaks it. Still, I feel like I once did. Story 37. When I was around 3 or 4 years old, I used to stand at my bedroom window at night and stare toward my grandparents' house across the yard. One night, my mom asked me why I did that so often, and I said, "I just remember, that used to be my room." She asked what I meant, and I added, "Why did they knock down that wall?" What's really strange is that my great-grandfather had lived in that room before I was born. After he passed, my grandfather tore down a wall to create a sunroom, but my parents didn't know about that renovation until they casually mentioned what I'd said to my grandparents. Later, when I was 5 and staying there during the summer, I pointed to a spot while picking strawberries and said, "Isn't this where we had the pigs? Where'd the shed go?" The family had stopped raising pigs years earlier, and the shed was destroyed in a storm long before I was born. My mom also said I'd sometimes mutter things in Hungarian, my great-grandfather's native language. None of us speak it, and I've forgotten all of it now. But she says those moments stopped when we moved, and only came back when I visited. She once told me she believed my great-grandfather had been in me somehow. I don't know what to make of that, but it stayed with me. Story 38. This one came from my mom, and it still creeps me out. She grew up in Australia and had a childhood friend named Chris who tragically died in a car accident near a place called Nong. Years later, she moved to New Zealand and had me. When I was about 5, I randomly asked, "Where's the car?" Confused, she pointed to our green family van. But I said, "No, the blue car with the big peanut in the window." At first, she assumed I had seen something on TV. But a few days later, I brought it up again, saying, "The guy with the big glasses took the car." My mom froze. Chris, the friend who died, drove a blue Subaru with a peanut-shaped air freshener. He was also known for wearing oversized sunglasses. She had never told me about any of that. Story 39. When my daughter was a baby, around 6 months, she would get frustrated when she couldn't walk. Not just normal baby fussing, she'd get visibly angry, like she was annoyed her body couldn't do what she remembered it could. We used to hang out with a local spiritual group that had all sorts of people, Wiccans, pagans, Christians, even a few practicing witches. One day an older woman saw my daughter and said, "Oh, she's an old soul like me." We laughed, thinking she was joking, but then she looked at us seriously and said, "She's frustrated because she remembers what she could do. She's been here before." As our daughter grew, she would talk about having kids of her own and how she used to live. She once said she died by swinging from a tree and going to sleep. She has a birthmark right where the spine meets the skull, the same area she said she was hurt. She talks with maturity beyond her years, has a huge vocabulary, and knows all sorts of facts about plants and trees we never taught her. Sometimes she just seems older than she should be. Story 40. This happened to me on the night of my 5th birthday. I had a dream that felt different, like a memory. In it, I was a girl turning 9. Everyone spoke Spanish, including me. I called my parents Mama and Papa, which I've never done in real life. We were celebrating my birthday. My mom gave me a VHS copy of Tiny Toon Adventures, How I Spent My Vacation, which I watched with my friends. Later, we played outside in the backyard. Then a boy who bullied me at school showed up with a plastic cup filled with blue liquid. He said it was lemonade. I remember thinking the smell was wrong, but he pressured me, so I drank it. I started vomiting blood all over my white dress. Everything went into chaos. I blacked out. Next, I was in an ambulance. I saw my parents outside the doors. I floated above my body up into the sky. Then I woke up, back in my own bed. I was 5 years old in 2002, but that movie came out in 1992, 5 years before I was born. I somehow knew every detail about it. Even now, I sometimes accidentally call my parents Mama and Papa. I've always wondered, was that someone else's memory I relived? Story 41. I used to have vivid dreams about being a British paratrooper in the 1960s. I'd dream about marching down a damp trail in full gear, camouflage uniform, heavy backpack, L1A1 rifle. I clearly remember staring at the pack of the man in front of me. He wore a maroon beret, and I knew he was a lieutenant. I was second in line, with a few more soldiers behind me. The dreams included flashes of combat, fear, and movement. I'd wake up panicked, heart racing. I don't remember who we were fighting or where it was, but those images, especially the one of the march, stuck with me. The dreams mostly stopped when I turned 20. But every now and then, I still feel that strange, vivid memory surface. Story 42. When I was about 3 or 4, my family visited an old farmhouse in central Texas with a realtor. The house was over 100 years old and sat not far from the interstate. As soon as we walked in, I told my mom she wouldn't like the inside of the kitchen cabinets because they were still bright yellow. She looked inside and was shocked. They were a horrible, glaring yellow. Even the realtor seemed surprised. Then we went upstairs. The realtor was showing us the attic and 3 bedrooms when I pointed at a wooden wall and asked, "What about that room?" The realtor looked confused and said there was no room there. I walked straight to a corner, felt around, and found a latch. It opened into a hidden room, a normal little room with no windows, tucked behind the wall. No one had known it existed. When the realtor asked how I knew about it, I simply said, "This used to be my house. That's where I did all my sewing so I wouldn't bother anyone." I don't remember most of the house now, but I've never forgotten that room or how stunned everyone was when I found it. Story 43. My dad told me this story about my little brother, who was around 3 at the time. One day, my dad came home from work and found my brother behind the couch, deep in conversation with someone. He asked who he was talking to, and my brother replied, "Your best friend, Reggie." That spooked my dad. Reggie had passed away shortly before my brother was born, while my mom was still pregnant. Reggie had been around a lot during that time, helping out while my dad traveled for work. After he passed, no one really talked about him anymore, especially not in front of my brother. About a year later, my brother was outside kicking a football around. My dad asked where he got the ball, and my brother said, "Reggie gave it to me." He was using a kid-sized football with Reggie's college logo on it, not one of the two regulation balls we had at home. And somehow, at just 4 years old, my brother was punting it, a skill no one had taught him. Reggie had been a professional punter in the NFL. To this day, it gives my dad chills. Story 44. It was Halloween afternoon. Always a tough time for me, because my first child was stillborn near that date. I was sitting in the den, and my husband was across the room at the desk. Our 2.5-year-old daughter was wandering around, not doing anything in particular. I was silently thinking about my lost baby, as I always do that time of year. Without a word from me, my daughter walked over and plopped a book into my lap. She couldn't read yet. We had hundreds of books, but this one stood out. It was a grief book about losing a child, something I hadn't touched in years. Then she opened it, pointed to a paragraph, and waited while I read it. It talked about the belief that children who die might reincarnate in the same family. As I sat there stunned, she gently patted my leg and said, in toddler speak, "I'm right here, Mommy." Which translated to, "I'm right here, Mommy." We hadn't said a word out loud. I was only thinking about her sibling. It still gives me chills every time I remember it. Story 45. This happened when I was 8, on September 19, 1980. I was getting dropped off at Mrs. P's house, who ran our carpool to school. As I got into the car, I suddenly felt uneasy and said, "Mrs. P, I'd feel better if I could wear a seat belt back here. Could you get a gardening tool, or something to pull it out from the crack?" I didn't even know what a gardening tool was, really, it just came out. Later that day, we got back into the car to go home. I sat in the middle of the back seat, on the hump. My little sister was next to me, and my older sister on the other side. I fell asleep during the ride. Then everything went black. Mrs. P had turned left in front of a telephone truck on the highway. We were hit hard. She was pregnant and gave birth that day. Her son was severely injured. My older sister's head was split open. I woke up covered in glass with only a scratch on my arm. I crawled out of the crushed car, and paramedics were stunned to see me. They said they'd already checked the vehicle. They thought I was dead and hadn't come back for me. To this day, I trust my gut completely. I call it my gut detector. It didn't stop the crash, but it tried to warn me. Story 46. This one is about me. My earliest memory is from a time before I was born, or at least, that's what it feels like. I remember being a passenger in a car, late at night. There were two other people in the vehicle, but I don't recall their faces. It was raining. We were driving through a city I didn't recognize. Suddenly, I had this overwhelming sense that we weren't going to make it. I don't remember the crash itself, but I remember the buildup. The next thing I knew, I was in a crib, my first memory as a baby in this life. I was looking up at the ceiling, surrounded by my family. I've never told anyone that before. It stayed with me all these years, quiet and heavy, like it's waiting to make sense one day.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.